سلام علیکم و رحمت الله. اعوذ بالله من الشیطان اللعین الرجیم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین، بارئ الخلائق اجمعین، باعث الانبیاء والمرسلین، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. It is the first night of Muharram. Inshallah, Allah blesses us with the ability to make the most out of this blessed month of the aza, crying, weeping, having the ability to attend the programs of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn to freshen our hearts. Recite the second one louder. Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes a true and close companion of our beloved Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-sharif. Recite the third one even louder. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to be again in the month of Muharram to commemorate the tragedy of Karbala, to remember Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, to shed tears for him, to beat our chest for him, to remember him, remember what he did, what he stood for, what he strived for. To remind ourselves of the livelihood of the message of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. It is alive today. The struggle of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn did not die with Abu Abdullah al-Husayn's shahada and martyrdom. It came to life at that point. Tonight, the first night, inshallah, we'll introduce a topic that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the opportunity, we'll go over this topic, this theme, over the course of the next 10 nights of Muharram. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with that ability to be able to make the most of this month, inshallah. Recite a salawat. The topic is going to be the role of the movement, or the role of Ashura and Karbala in the movement of the Ahlul Bayt. This is what we want to understand. There is a movement that the Ahlul Bayt have had. What I mean by that is that from Amirul Mu'mineen, Mawla al-Muwahideen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ya'subuddin, all the way until the Imam of our time, today, currently, this day and age, in 2016, there is a movement of the Ahlul Bayt. Each of the Imams was busy with their share and what they did, what they were supposed to contribute in this movement, for the objectives that they had in mind. A very important part of that is Karbala, Ashura. A very important role. We want to try to understand in that movement. So we have to talk about the movement itself, what the other Imams did before and after, to understand where Karbala stands. And hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the tawfiq to do that. I feel that it's very important for us to understand what the Ahlul Bayt were trying to do, what Abu Abdullah al-Husayn was trying to do. Tonight, what we want to start with is a saying that has been attributed to the Ahlul Bayt, which we have to understand. Inna al-Husayn, I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, know this saying. Inna al-Husayn, misbahul huda wa safinatun najat. The Imam, Imam al-Husayn, is a lantern of guidance in an ark of Savior. In other du'as, like the salawat for the month of Sha'ban, we read that all of the Ahlul Bayt are the ark of salvation. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad al-fulk al-jariya fil lujaj al-ghamira ya'manu man rakibaha wa yaghraqu man tarakaha. The ark that is steering fil lujaj al-ghamira, in the dark deep waters where there's no way to be saved except being on that ark. يَأْمَنُ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا. All of the Ahlul Bayt are such. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the ark of salvation. Imam al-Mujtaba is the ark of salvation. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra is the Holy Prophet above and beyond all the rest of the Imams. However, as they have said, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, his ark is quicker. It gets us to the destination faster than the rest of the Ahlul Bayt. This is what we have observed. Ulama have said from the words of the Ahlul Bayt, similar words, many similar statements, many similar words, suggesting to us the importance of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn in salvation. What the month of Muharram does, remembering Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, putting up these black banners, wearing black, coming to the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, remembering him, recitations, crying, weeping, beating our chests. Very effective. More in certain ways, in many ways, more effective than remembering the rest of the Ahlul Bayt. In what way? One thing which is hopefully something we will gain and benefit in this month, one of the areas that we can benefit from Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, in ways that for the rest of the Ahlul Bayt, we're less able to, not that we're not able to, we're less able to benefit. It has to do with the heart. It has to do with the heart. If you look at the Holy Quran, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the heart. الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. You have certain people, they are believers, in the ranks of the believers. With the Holy Prophet in the battle of Khandaq, as we know it, or Al-Ahzab, where the different disbelievers, different tribes, mushrikeen, polytheists, Jews, they all gather together against the Holy Prophet. There are believers with the Prophet in Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to some of them as الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. They're believers, they're with the Prophet, but there's an illness in the heart. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهَ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وابتغاء تأويله. There are those, when the verses of the Holy Quran are revealed, verses that are light, they're supposed to illuminate the path for human beings. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This book, the Quran, is supposed to be guidance. It's supposed to be light. When these verses are revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in that surah, some of these verses can be interpreted in different ways. There are multiple interpretations. Some of them are muhkamat, hunna ummul kitab. The foundation and the base of the book, the Quran, is muhkamat, or are muhkamat, the verses that are clear in their meanings. But certain verses can be interpreted multiple ways. It says there are believers with the Prophet. الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهِ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ. They go to the verses of the Holy Quran instead of creating guidance for themselves, helping others, benefiting as the community of believers from these verses. They use those verses to create fitna. According to the Holy Quran, fitna is the context where things are made blurry. Light illuminates the path. It gives you clarity. You recognize this is where we need to move, and this is the wrong direction. We're not going to turn left here or turn right. We need to move on the straight path. That's what light does. That's what the Quran is supposed to do. But these people, because of the zayr in their hearts, because of that layer of rust that has formed on their hearts, they take that same verse that's supposed to be guidance, they use it to cause misguidance. The heart is very important. Where is our heart? What direction is our heart pulling us towards? Are our hearts Husayni? How Husayni are they? Is the pull towards Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, towards the Imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif, strong enough to make us some of those that will stand behind Muslim ibn Aqil? Or our hearts are not strong enough? Our hearts want the dunya. Our hearts are inclined towards the temptations of this material world. Where is our heart? Heart is a very extremely important element in where we are going to be. What causes that layer of rust to form over the heart of a believer? According to the Holy Quran, according to Ahadith, sins. Sins, Muharramat. Seeing what I'm not supposed to be seeing. Looking at what I'm not supposed to be looking at. Listening to what I'm not supposed to be listening to. Engaging in things that I'm not supposed to be engaging. Muharramat, sins. Sins create that. We live at a time and in a society that is rotting from within, brothers and sisters. It was a blessing to be able to help some of the brothers this afternoon. We went to the mall to pick something up. I don't know what you guys call it, if you call it a mall or not. We're at a brother's house where we're staying. Alhamdulillah, it's clean inside the house. There's nothing that reminds you. There's no temptations. Alhamdulillah. One out just for a couple of hours, the encounters that you have and just going in that environment, the glamour of the dunya, it attracts you. People going in, coming up with, out with big bags from the shopping center or the mall or whatever. The way people are dressed. Sometimes we're so used to it. Because it's all over the place, obviously. We forget the effects of seeing these things. It hurts our hearts. It creates a layer of filth. We have to be careful. That qalb, that heart, that is supposed to be haramullah, that's supposed to be the sacred sanctuary of God, where nothing else is supposed to enter. There are so many other things there. There's sometimes barely any space for God. We forget. Negligence. Ghafla. If our hearts are with Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, if we are attracted, if we allow our hearts to get attracted to that bright light of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, we're going to be on the right path. In Muharram, one of the very important elements that gets us on the right path is this: the environment and atmosphere that is created that allows our hearts to get closer to Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. The environment that we create, the brothers and sisters have spent time to create, the black cloth that's there, the recitations that you hear, the shedding of tears, the effect of that is a removal of some of the layers, at least, of the rust that has formed in our hearts. There's hadith. This is not being made up here. Hadith from Imam al-Husayn, or about Imam al-Husayn, from Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. I mentioned it in the program that the brothers had here, brothers and sisters, Khuddam al-Husayn, those who are serving the believers. A very beautiful hadith, amongst many others. Imam al-Sadiq says, when he's asked about Imam al-Husayn, he says, Imam al-Husayn is with the Prophet, with Imam al-Hasan, with Amir al-Mu'mineen, with the Lady Fatima al-Zahra. And when someone cries, when someone visits him, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn sees them. When someone cries for him, for the Imam, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is seeing you. Not seeing everybody, just getting a glance at the whole crowd, every single individual. Don't think there's millions, alhamdulillah, on the face of the earth that are shedding tears together. How is Abu Abdullah al-Husayn going to attend to every single one of them? It's Imam al-Husayn. He looks at you and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, forgive us, whoever's crying, that tiny drop of tear. Abu Abdullah al-Husayn prays, istighfar, forgive, God forgive this believer of their sins. Istighfar removes that layer of zayg, the layer of filth, the rust from the heart. If I do istighfar, it's one thing. If Imam al-Husayn does istighfar for me, it's another. The hadith says, Imam al-Husayn at that point asks Amir al-Mu'mineen, his father, you, O father, you please also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive this person. Every tear that is shed for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, if there's that sincerity, according to that hadith, Imam al-Husayn and Amir al-Mu'mineen will pray that God forgives you. What does that forgiveness mean? Removing that zayigh from our hearts. That rust from our hearts. The layer of filth that has formed. Sometimes so many layers that unfortunately we're not able to see that light. The emotional aspect of Karbala and Muharram is extremely important, brothers and sisters. It shouldn't be taken lightly. We have so many hadith on poets and poetry. If a poet, there's a number of hadith, I was checking Kamil al-Ziyarat by Ibn Qulaway, a chapter on this, if a person causes others to cry, what the rewards of that are. There's so much rewards, I'll tell you, those hadith aside, there's plenty of ahadith. There was one of the ulama in Qum, a scholar, a faqih, a jurist. All those years he spent, he's an old man. He studied Qala al-Sadiq, Qala al-Baqir all of his life. He's taught and created so many students for the Ahlul Bayt. So many even reciters. Many of his students are probably going out speaking, lecturing, giving talks. Some of them are reciting for Imam al-Husayn, causing others to cry. But at that old age, he saw a dream of what the respect is. He says there was a gathering, the Holy Prophet was there, Imam al-Husayn was there, the Lady Fatima al-Zahra was there, he was there, this particular alim, scholar. The respect went to the one who was reciting for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, causing others to cry. That day when he woke up, he gathers his family, and he said, I don't have a good voice, but I want to have this experience once. I want to be considered one of the dhakirin of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. I want to have that in my record. On the Day of Judgment, I want to have that in my record. The emotional aspect of Karbala is very, very strong, very important. Should not be taken lightly. Beating our chest is very important. It's one of those ways that we're able to make that emotional connection. And of course, in doing so, we have to be careful. If we're trying to make that emotional connection with the Ahlul Bayt through the traditional methods that the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, the ulama, the scholars have approved of, we don't start introducing things or going with what we think is tradition where it hurts Imam al-Husayn. There's certain methods that sometimes we see people commemorating Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. They want to get that emotional attachment and that connection, but the method that is used, one can swear to God that this causes Abu Abdullah al-Husayn to cry. Why are you doing this? We have to be careful of that. This is one aspect of the arc of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn being different than the rest of the Ahlul Bayt. The emotional attachment to Karbala, to Imam al-Husayn, the tragedy, the sacrifice that Imam al-Husayn had there, any scene of it, if it's truly pictured, if there's just a touch of humanity left in that person's heart, it will cause that heart to tremble. If we picture it, if we understand what happened there. This is one aspect. This should cause each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, those awaiting the coming of the Imam of our time, followers of the Imam of our time, Shia of the Imam of our time, trying to get closer to that Imam, trying to get closer to the direction that that Imam wants us to move in. Each of us individually and then collectively, think of what happens to this globe in Muharram. If we look at some of the ahadith, if we were the angels observing the earth from above, you see sometimes in smaller towns, in darker regions where there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of sin, there's a lot of disbelief. When you see a small gathering of believers gathering together, it's like a candle that is glowing and they see it. Bright, it's small, but it's bright, it's seen, it's visible, like the stars, according to our ahadith. We look at the sky, we see the stars, the angels look at earth. When you see those believers remembering Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, they see illumination, they see light, they see brightness. Every one of these majalis in Muharram, think of what it's like. Think of the effect that this has on the Muslim community, on the globe, on everyone, even on the disbelievers. It has an impact. But this is not the only aspect of Karbala. This isn't the only way that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is the ark of salvation. Look at what Abu Abdullah al-Hussein did. One thing we see in the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, what we mean by the movement specifically, we're focusing on one part of it. A lot of us don't realize that Imam al-Hussein was an imam for 10 years. What we know of the movement of Karbala is only from Rajab of the year 60 after the Hijrah until Muharram, the 10th of Muharram of the year 61. That's what we think the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is. That's not it. There's a lot more to it. But in that part of his movement, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein moving to Mecca after the death of Muawiyah alayhi al-la'na. When Imam al-Hussein moves to Mecca, from Sha'ban to Ramadan to Shawwal, the Qa'da until the 9th of the Hajjah, Imam al-Hussein is in Mecca. What does he do? He's speaking. Public lectures. Private settings. Where there are heads of tribes, important people. While they're walking, the Imam catches individuals, he speaks to them. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is providing clarifications, information, knowledge, educating the masses. Educating the masses regarding things that are important to them. This age, brothers and sisters, has correctly been identified as the modern age of ignorance. The time we live in is truly the modern age of ignorance. There's a lot of information out there. There's plenty of it. Through information technology, IT, you got plenty of it. You have the web. Through the different websites, social media, and all the other forms of education, whether it's school, university, through press, all the publications that you have that are available. There's plenty of information there. Plenty of it. But there's so much, people get confused. There's information, there's misinformation. If you prioritize information, because there's a lot, right? You can become an expert in plenty of different fields. So out of all the information that's out there, what's most important? People get busy with some of the less important information that's out there. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein focused on the education that people needed. Things that people were forgetting. Important concepts that people were not understanding. They had forgotten. Some had not seen. Because of especially the 20 years after Imam al-Mujtaba, after Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhima, there was a lot of information that was kept from the people. There was a lot of misinformation that went out in different ways. All the ahadith that Muawiyah fabricated in praise of certain individuals, including himself, or in praise of Ibn Muljam, the Mal'oon who assassinated Amir al-Mu'mineen, and against the Ahlul Bayt, particularly Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. All the wrong material that was being presented in the pulpits every Friday. There's a lot of information that was kept. There was a lot of misinformation that was fed. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein provides information. There's a lot of information, brothers and sisters, that we need to look into. We can't be confused. We need to know what's right and what's wrong. That's another aspect in Muharram that we need to focus on. Our majalis should have that element in them. We've got to gain, we've got to increase in our knowledge. Third, which may seem similar to the second, but it's different, the aspect that we're focusing on. It's not simply education. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein with his movement and the commemorations, the majalis, the azah, starting with, according to some of our ulama, which there seems to be plenty of evidence, at least some of our ulama agree to it, and there is evidence for it, that the family of Imam al-Hussein, after all that happened to them, in Karbala, on the way to Kufa, from Kufa to Sham, instead of going directly to Medina, they went on the 20th of Safar, or 40 days after Ashura. They said, we want to go to Karbala first. There was azah there. When the Ahlul Bayt moved to Medina, before entering, they set up Aza. What were they trying to do? What was this culture of Aza? What impact did it have that for many, during the time of many of the Khulafa, as they were called, Khulafa, of the Abbasids and the Umayyads, it was banned to go to Karbala. You weren't allowed to go to Karbala. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein created awareness with regards to the circumstances that were going on, waking people up to the realities that they were living in, but they were negligent of, careless. They didn't care. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ أَنَّ الْحَقْ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ. Don't you see that truth is not being implemented? Ma'roof is not being implemented? The government that is supposed to be the Khalifa of the Prophet, implementing Islamic law, is a drunkard? Abu Abdullah al-Hussein created awareness. He taught us that this is important material. We have to think about this. We have to be sensitive about what's going on around us. We're living in some very important times, brothers and sisters. Muharram is supposed to be a time where we find that clarity, the light, the bright light of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is supposed to provide that guidance for us in this day and age. Look at what's going on. Look at what's going on in Syria. The whole world is worried about this creation called Daesh. Look at what the Saudis are doing. Last year in Hajj, not this last Hajj, the previous one, according to some accounts, over 5,000 people were killed. According to the evidence that has been provided, definitely not an accident. Why? Why is Saudi doing this? Why is Saudi paying for what's going on in Syria? Where do they get that money? How do they channel that money? What's happening in Iraq is important, brothers and sisters. On one hand, you had Daesh coming in full force. They thought they're going to occupy even Baghdad. By the grace of God, the believers, the strong believers in that country, our brothers, upon the call of Marja'iyya, going out there, sacrificing their lives, believing in the concept of Shahada that Imam al-Husayn taught them. Not only did they not allow them to come and walk into Baghdad, they are protecting that country. They've kicked those guys out of many of the cities, and inshallah, that country will be freed of this fitna. Quranic term for it is fitna. And be relieved of it. This is important. What's going on in Yemen is important. Believers are getting killed. Why? Mu'mineen are getting killed. Innocent women and children are getting killed. When the United Nations wants to just list, I mean, what is the United Nations going to do? If they wanted to do anything, they should have done something. Not even allowing the Saudi regime to be considered to be accused of the crime or committing war crimes. Not even allowing that. Being open about it. What has the world come to? They are making public statements about this. I can hear the echo of the voice of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Do you not see this? This is important. What's happening in Bahrain is important. Look, if we all don't join hands, eventually, God forbid, al-ayadu billah, Ayatollah Sheikh Isa Qasim, God forbid something may happen to him. Of course, as the believers have made those public statements, that will not happen, inshallah. And if it does, God forbid, happen, they will feel the wrath. That will be the end of that government. We can't let that happen. These are important issues. What the leadership says
In the Islamic Republic, what the enemies of Islam are doing to the Islamic Republic, the sanctions, and then the response of the leadership, these are important issues. Where are we?
Where are we? What are we doing? Whose side are we on? Do we even understand whose side we need to be on? Or are we going to be some of the confused ones? Don't think that if we love Abu Abdullah al-Hussein today, if we would have been in Karbala or in Kufa or in Basra, we have joined Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Plenty of times you've heard this, we need to hear this, we need to shiver. We need to fear that maybe we wouldn't be with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Many people were confused. They didn't know what to do, what not to do. It was confusing to people. What are we doing? Are we confused as well? Are we joining the wrong forces? Are we supporting the wrong forces? These have got to be important matters for us. In the current context, brothers and sisters, the world we live in, what's going on with the Islamic movement, led by the Islamic Republic, the Islamic Revolution, and the leadership, and by the grace of God, all of what has joined that movement, and by the grace of God, more and more believers will realize the truth in this, as they have, and they're continuing to do so. In the context of Muharram, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, we have to make sure we find ways to understand what's going on. To understand what Imam al-Hussein wanted us to do. To understand what Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted us to do. If we're going to be covering the topic of the role of Karbala in the movement of the Ahlul Bayt, discussing the stances of the Ahlul Bayt, and then seeing what Abu Abdullah al-Hussein did, it is for us to take that understanding and apply it today. We hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with that ability. It is the first night. As the brother mentioned before the talk, we try to remember the first shaheed of the movement of Imam al-Hussein, the first shaheed of Karbala that was martyred in Kufa. Sallallahu alayk. It's very difficult to picture those scenes. It's very difficult to imagine this man, this cousin of Imam al-Hussein, coming in because of 12,000 letters that were written. Imam al-Hussein had to go somewhere. He was calling people towards an uprising. And the people in Kufa, 12,000 people said, "We are ready." Muslim ibn Aqil coming to the city. Initially, so many people coming and pledging allegiance. I don't think we can imagine ourselves. Everyone leaving? Not a single soul accompanying Muslim ibn Aqil. Not a single soul. السلام عليكم يا أهل البيت المبوى وموضع مختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي ومعدن الرحمن. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon my beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your home that Allah subhanahu blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you. Day in and day out, seeking permission before entering upon you. Inshallah, we have the tawfiq to go to Karbala if not earlier in Arba'een. Take your hearts to Karbala. For this salam. Sallallahu alayhi ya sallallahu alayhi ya madlum sallallahu ayyuha ash-shahid bi Karbala atshana. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Hazan, my beloved oppressed Imam that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ruhi laka al-fida ya remembering Muslim Ibn
The better of him. He was taken to Darul Imara with bloody lips. With bloody lips on the roof of Darul Imara. Looking towards Mecca, it's the same day that Imam al-Husayn leaves Mecca, the 9th of the Hajjah. Imagine what's going on, what thoughts are coming to the mind of Muslim ibn Aqil. Husayn, if you come to Kufa, I can hear them sharpening their swords for you. Hussain Harmala is preparing his arrows. I wish I could tell you not to come to Kufa. I can only imagine what they will do to your women. Ya Abadallah, I tried my best. Imam al-Husayn, upon receiving that news, brought the daughter of a Muslim ibn Aqil. He sat her on his lap. When she saw that Imam al-Husayn is giving her special treatment, she said, "Oh, uncle, has anything happened? It seems like you're stroking my hair as though I'm an orphan." I don't know how Imam al-Husayn felt at that moment, but in Karbala, be paid. Instead of seeing that lovely hand, all she would see and feel would be the heavy hands of ruthless men. Salaamu alaykum ya ahla bayt an-nubuwwah. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون.